Hello and welcome to this edition of the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. This week, Dave Tillipaw, a member of our leadership team, shares a sermon where he steals the title from a famous ad campaign, Just Do It. So, without further ado, here's Dave.
Gonna make you do it in Ukrainian if you can't do it in English. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good morning.
Guys, thank you for the worship this morning. That was awesome. It really was. It was awesome. And I hope if you would just David, if you would bring up that last verse that we were talking about. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. I hope that through this word that I share this morning, you can have a sense of who God is, because if you don't, this word is going to seem dry and bitter. But it's not meant to be, right? God's an awesome God, and He loves you, and He has great plans for your life. The title of today's message is Just Do It. And when Greg preached a couple weeks ago, I love hearing different people learning things. One of the things I learned from Greg is you got to have that key message and hammer it home. And so you're going to hear me say Just Do It about 500 times today. But you can see my coat, okay? So when you're watching the basketball game later today and you see a Nike commercial come on, I want you to think about this message, Just Do It. All right, we don't have a sponsorship yet. This is not Nike coming in and fixing the barn and giving us a nice basketball court. But if any of you can make that happen, give me a call. This message is Just Do It. I'm going to talk to you about something today that's not very popular. I'm going to talk about something today that, especially in our culture, right, in the U.S., is a message we don't want to hear. There's parts of the gospel we talk about a lot, right? There's parts that we like. There's parts we don't like. So I'm going to talk to you about one you don't like to hear today. But the reason I'm going to talk to you about it is because there's blessing in it for you, right? And even if there wasn't, it's something God's asking of you. And if He asks that of you, then it's something that you need to be able to respond to. And my experience is that if He asks it of you and you do it, there's blessing for you. So I'm going to put this up here, or else I'll be really way too warm. Somebody's going to say that's not appropriate to cover the cross. Let's do this. All right, there we go. So this message today is going to exhort you. I bet it's going to challenge you. For those of you who don't know, I'm a soccer coach. I've been doing it for a lot of years. I have a real passion for it. So you'll hear that and some of the things. That's some of what Lord's put in me, this thing of exhortation. So when I'm coming up, it's going to be a challenge. It's actually good. I've been encouraged to learn that we really shouldn't tell you who's preaching because there's a lot of people here today, so that's great. It could be related to Rob not being here, but I think it's good we don't announce in advance. If you don't feel a little bit uncomfortable when we're done with this, I don't think I hit it for you. So I do want to prepare you for that. This is one of those concepts in scriptures that can be a bit divisive, right? In some of the situations. And as we talk about it, I really want to test today, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Because this is an area where you're really going to have to sit back and ask, am I my Lord or is God my Lord? Okay. So the area is, I want to talk about submission. I want to talk about obedience. Okay. And those are words, as I said, we're not really happy to hear. We're like, oh, right. I can see it. Everybody's like, oh, great. I don't want to hear that. You might be thinking, submission, is this a husband and wife talk? Not per se, though we are going to talk about that a little bit. Okay. That is a piece of this. It's a lordship discussion. It's a humility discussion. It's a servanthood discussion. And it's a heart discussion. I know what some of you are thinking. You're looking around going, all right, Dave, if this is not about husband and wives, where's Michelle? I actually told her she had to go serve in there today, so she did it. So I'm really proud of her for that. That's a great example. All right. So I would ask you, get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. If you don't have one, get one. Yeah, she submits well, right? So you can ask her. You can ask her if I didn't run this by her, so I could be in trouble by lunch. We're gonna really dig in kind of deep, and gonna do a lot of reading. And so we'll see if we get through this. We may have to break this into two bits. But I wanna give you the context in which you're hearing these verses. And so sometimes we're gonna read a whole chapter. We're gonna read sections. And it's more than we'll be able to scroll quickly. And so make sure you get a copy of the word out of what we are going to read. Why do we care about this message today, right? Why should we listen? Why should we listen? Why would we even consider the possibility that there's some areas in our lives that we need to submit and obey? How many people in here are parents? Have children? Let's see hands. All right. There's a phrase you parents all use. How many people in here are kids of parents? Yeah. All right, so parents sometimes will try to get their kids to do something, and the kids just might not listen. They might not obey. And after a while, the parents, you get kind of tired, right? You get tired of explaining, and then you pull out a specific phrase, right? You pull out the trump card. You, when you say this thing, the discussion's done, and this child better submit, right? Kids, what's the phrase? Because I said so. That's right. Everybody knows it, right? Because I said so. And I find it kind of funny that as parents, how many parents think that's a fair argument? Come on, let's see, right? Okay, well, there's a lot of things that God says so. And yet we call him out and say, well, I need more than just because you said so. I need a reason. Right? I need you to explain to me, God. I need you to help me understand. So this word hopefully will challenge you in some of those things. And there's really, this is kind of a talk on submission and obedience. But then that's really not something that's an end of itself. You submit or you obey in doing something else that God's asked. And for all of us, there's going to be different parts of our lives in different orders, different times that God's asking you to submit about. So you're going to have to go to him and ask for those things. I'm just going to talk to you today about that act of recognizing it and then submitting to it. So I think God has a right to ask a few things of us, right? He is the Alpha and the Omega, right? Amen. He's the Creator God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our wonderful counselor. Remembering who he is, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's love, and he is a consuming fire. He is our strong tower, our strength, and our shield. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Okay? That's who we're talking about. I think we tend to bring him to our level sometimes. I think it's okay for him to ask pretty much anything he wants. So let's talk about that. We're going to do a little word study. I'm going to take you through some of the usages of these words in Scripture, not all. It's not comprehensive. I'm going to really focus on things where he's asking us as believers to submit. We're going to focus in on New Testament. And so some of you may say, well, Dave, there's verses you missed. Amen, there are. And there's more words that are similar to the words we're going to dig into. But we're going to dig into a couple specific words. David, if you would bring up the first word there. All right, first word. I am no Greek scholar. It's all Greek to me. Hupotasso. All right, a lot of times we see this as submit, and I'll tell you as we go through the reading which ones are talking about hupotasso here. But here's what it is: to arrange under. There we go. To subordinate, to subject, or put into subjection, to subject yourself, to obey. There's really a connotation here. There's two root words behind this, and there's a connotation of putting yourself under. It's a choice. It's something you do of yourself with respect to someone else or something else. You see the bottom, a Greek military term meaning to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. And in voluntary use, it was a voluntary giving in, cooperating, carrying a burden. Okay, so that's hupotasso. Hupotasso. We see that a lot as submit. Want to do the next slide for me, please, David? This one I have to really think as I pronounce it. Hupakuo. Okay, some of the same root in it. This one's a little different. This one is translated a lot as obey, and so there's a connotation of listening. Right, I'm paying attention. I'm listening for something, and then when I hear it, I respond to it. Look, for example, knock at the door. Right, the porter is around. One of their primary jobs is when that's heard. They don't know when it's going to be heard. When it's heard, someone's at the door. I got to go get that. Okay? They respond in a timely fashion. So those are the two words that are kind of the basis of what we're talking about today. And I'm going to start, we can cut that for now, David. I'll tell you when to bring it back. Thank you. Let's start with hupotasso. We're going to kind of go in order in New Testament. Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13. going to start at verse 1. All right, here's the first hupotasso. Let every soul be subject. Hupotasso. Okay? Let every soul put themselves under the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must, hupotasso, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Okay? Hupotasso. Quick reminder, pay your taxes. If you haven't yet, you don't have a good position, as far as I'm concerned, to not do it. You may not like everything our government's doing, but they are God's appointed authorities, right? So we have a role to stand up in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's start with verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is, and the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit, hupotasso, to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. Okay? So we're to submit to good works, to a type of ministry that's being demonstrated here. Ephesians 5:22. Right? This tends to be one of the most contentious uses right here. Wives, submit to your husbands, hupotasso, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is hupotasso, subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects or reveres her husband. Okay, context. And yet often when that's taught, we don't teach the context in front of it. So back up just a little bit. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting, hupotasso, to one another in the fear of God. Okay? There's a context of submission in marriage. There's a context of submission that's mutual. There's a context of submission in the body. Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit, hupotasso, to your own husbands. Oh, by the way, every time I've seen this, it's to your own husband. It's to your own husband. Right? Okay? Very, very specific submission there. As is fitting to the Lord, husbands, love. The word here, we'll get back to that later. This is agape. This is agape, guys. Right? Your wives, and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey. Hupakuo. This is the other word that we talked about, hupakuo. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey, hupakuo, in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, for there is no partiality. Okay, starting to hear some patterns. We get done. There's a few more. I told you a lot of reading today, but when we get, I want you to see all the uses and see it in its context, and then I'll sum it out for you. And what are the key pieces from it? Titus 2. Give you a second because Titus is a little smaller, a little harder to find. Titus 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient, hupotasso in this case, to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants. We'll talk about this in a minute, but we are all bondservants in one form or another. Bondservants, to be obedient, hupotasso, to their masters. To be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Titus 3. Remind them to be subject, hupotasso, to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. A couple quick notes on this section, right? Good works profitable to all men. Foolish disputes, right? Strivings, contentions, right? They're unprofitable and useless. And divisive people should be admonished and then rejected. Okay, so there's a strong call to unity here in this topic of submission and obedience. Unity in our body, same kind of unity he's looking for in our families, same kind of unity he's looking for you to provide at your workplace. Almost done. James 4. Geez, Dave, I came to church. I didn't want to do so much in the Bible. Yeah, so... Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So James 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from among your desires for pleasure of that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Wait a minute. So I've been fighting for it, but I haven't asked for it. Okay. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss or wrongly that you might spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, because of all that, submit, hupotasso, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. 1 Peter chapter 2, last one for hupotasso. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start with verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves, hupotasso, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not as using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive, hupotasso, to your masters, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God one endures grief and suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if you're beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? But when you do good and still suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leading us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was revealed, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. All right. Hoop akuo. Couple more spots, and then we're done, and we'll talk about it. Hupakuo, Romans 6, verse 12. Romans 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should hupakuo, that you should obey in its lusts. And don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, hupakuo? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, but God be thanked that you are slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, hupakuo, from the heart, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Ephesians 6:1. Parents, we all have this one, right? Plastered up on the kitchen wall. You guys got this one, know it well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You guys better do this, right? Hupakuo, obey. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bond servants, stink, that means me again. Be obedient, hupakuo, to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Whew. I got to get a drink. It's a lot of scripture. Why do you think he'd say this so many times? Yeah. This might be important, I'm thinking. I mean, this is in a lot of context. And he said the same thing, right? If you read it, this is a different book, and he's essentially giving the exact same message. I notice anytime God does that, there seems to be a message that's kind of important, right? I think he wants us to just do it. Just do it, okay? But he knows this is going to be really hard for us. And so things that are going to be hard, how many times in Scripture does he tell you to breathe? Right? How many times in Scripture does he tell you, when you're hungry, eat food? Right? He doesn't. He doesn't tell you in Scripture, when you're walking, make sure you alternate feet, left, right. You know, you don't start doing the hopscotch thing. These are things that are natural. These are things that are easy. These are things that come simple to us. We don't need instruction in things that are easy and things that come naturally. This is an area that does not come naturally. If it comes naturally for you, spend time with me so I can learn it. It doesn't come naturally for me, okay? Really doesn't. David, if we could go to slide 3, please. Appreciate it. So let me kind of break that down now and try to give you summaries, and we can start to see some patterns across it. Who do we submit to? Sorry, guys, I used a font that we don't have installed here, so it's messed it all up. Who do we submit to? We submit to God. And I couldn't list or much less find all the scriptures where he talks to that. I just threw up a couple that came out of this. Exodus 20 is another great example. But the whole scripture, right, asks us to submit to God and brings us under that. We're told to submit to the gospel, right? 2 Thessalonians, we're told to submit to our masters. We're told to submit to rulers and authorities. Let's talk about the difference between those just for a minute. Okay, master is more of a connotation of something local. If I work for Alex, he's my master, okay? It's somebody that I probably know. It's somebody that I probably interact with. It's a local thing. But if Alex works for Bill, and Bill works for Nancy, and Nancy works for Sally, and Sally works for Kat, and I've never even met Kat before, right? He might be a ruler and authority, okay? There are things that our government has set up. We haven't met these people. We didn't get to negotiate on the law. They're much further above us. This isn't somebody we interact with on a daily basis, but they've established some rules, and those are things we have to follow, okay? And so we're both to be submitted locally. We're to be submitted at a higher level. We're to submit to every ordinance of man. Every ordinance of man. I'll tell you, this is a hard one for me. Speeding. Speed limit's an ordinance of man. Whew. I've had some really testy Christian discussions, and I'm not saying I follow that one. I struggle with that one, with people telling me, no, I have good Christian reasons why it's okay for me to speed. So I'm not so sure. Not so sure. That's not today's topic. So if that really pricked you, you deal with it with God. But every ordinance of man. And so there's ordinances that challenge each and every one of us. I'll guarantee it. We're to submit to each other. So there's this sense of equality among us, right? There's this sense of for each looking out for the other's needs. Wives have a command to submit to their own husbands. To their own husbands. Not to other people's husbands, just to their own. Children to parents. Okay? And children, they didn't say to your own parents, so I'm thinking you got to submit to anybody who's a parent. I'm thinking it's to your own parents. All right? But there is a sense in this body certainly of fellowship, like a family that looks out for kids. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If my kids are in trouble and you don't see me around, take care of it. They don't want it to come back to me from you. That's not a good thing. All right, so I think this list covers each of us, by my count, 6 or 7 times over. You might be able to squeeze out of maybe one of them, depending who you are and what your relationships are, but I think all of us fall under almost every one of these categories. So I think we all have been asked to submit. So let's talk about why we don't. I'll tell you a couple of my reasons, right? And these are not scriptural. These are just broken down sinful flesh to probably the same, right? I like to be in charge. Anybody here like to be in charge? I'm a firstborn. I was in charge coming out of the womb. My dad and my mom split up when I was 6. He moved out. A lot of the time, I was then in charge. I mean, literally in charge. My mom would work, and I had my sister, and I was the man of the house. I have been in charge of everything I've ever done. I hate when I went to get a degree in college, and they started doing this group thing. They're like, your grade's going to depend on these people. I'm like, that loser's off my team. I'm running this thing, right? I don't do well in groups. I really don't. I like to be in charge. And I'm comfortable with the accountability that if I screw it up, that's on me. But I like to be in charge. I don't like to have my fate bound to other people and have to do it their way. Right? Isn't that the core of it? Isn't that the core of a lot of the challenges with submission and obedience, right? We want our way, our timing. Certainly, at least neutral for us, if not for our benefit. Ways that seem right to us, right? And even if it's really, you know, charitable, I intend it to benefit somebody else, I've got a certain way that I think that ought to happen, right?
I'll tell you what, from the second
one. Yeah.
Yeah. I never felt like I was in charge. I still didn't like people telling me what to
do. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's funny, right? I did a lot of studies on birth order all through my 5, right? In their own environments, their own ways, that they each have found places in the house where they've asserted and they're in charge. So I'm sorry, folks, that I have to tell you this, but when you are like that, when I'm like that, it's sin. It's sin, right? When we're focused on ourselves, on being our way and driving it, it's sin. And I know it sounds ugly, but I don't want you to think I'm accusing, right? As Pastor Don often says, and man, it's been this way for 4 weeks. I've had this word. I've had the worst 4 weeks. I've been pounded on. I've been treated unfairly. I've acted poorly and reaped punishment from that. I've been in positions of where I've been under authority and had to submit to things I didn't like. It's been horrible. I am so glad to be done with this message. Next time I'm preaching on material prosperity. That's great. But you know, you don't get to choose. You ask God what to speak on. He says, this is what you're going to talk about. So how many people struggle a little bit with want to be in charge at all? Okay. The rest of you are lying. So if I submit to God, to my boss, to my spouse, I might not get my way, right? Bottom line. Yep. Yep. So that's reason one. We like to be in charge. Reason two, we like to strive. I know. Just me. It's not you. You guys really don't like any kind of contention. But think about it for a minute. Do you actually like to strive? Do you? I would tell you do. Right? Let's talk about a couple faces that striving takes. We like to find fault in other people. Okay? We like to judge others. We like to criticize. If you're a more positive person and you've taken all sorts of self-help wellness classes, you like to offer suggestions for others, right? I don't criticize. Pastor Don, you should try this shirt. It looks way better than what you're wearing today, right? That's not a suggestion, right? We often put pretty faces on our ugly sin, right? Now, some of us like to strive face-to-face. Some of us are belligerent. We like to get right up to somebody else, and the fight comes, and we're like, great, gloves off, let's go. You and me, right here, right now, because I'm telling you, I like to be in charge, and I'm going to work this out. It's going to go my way. And if you're still with me at the end, you know, that's okay, but as long as we're going my direction. All right? So some of you are like that. Some of you don't like that. You'd say, well, Dave, I don't strive. You know, I don't say anything to anybody, except to my wife or my husband on the way home from church, because I didn't like that. I say it to myself later and kind of, you know, mutter about it. And Or I just stop smiling when I see that person because I'm kind of cranky about them now. You know, I'm not going to say anything because I don't like to strive. Right? You just take it inside. So it's sin nature, folks. Don't feel bad. You've got it. I've got it. But we have it. We have it. So funny, right? God forbid somebody raises a criticism about you. Right? Do you guys like it? I hate it. I can't say, you know, we do all this training and say, you know, get some feedback. I hate getting feedback. My whole job, I'm a coach. My whole job is to, right? And there's some spiritual preparation in this, and there's some practical things God's brought me through to make me a coach. I look at somebody, and I see very quickly where their faults are and what they need to do to change them. Right? Thanks. And so this is a real challenge for me, right? It's a good thing. We need people that do that. We need people that coach, encourage, exhort. But man, if I don't keep that in check, I can get really self-righteous. I can get really angry. And so thankfully God keeps my sin pretty close to my eyes. And so I know I'm a mess. I just hope nobody else sees it, right? That's the goal. And so I can look at you and I can criticize you, or you could look at me and criticize me, but God's not looking for that. He said a bunch of times in the scripture we went over. So there is this thing of liking to strive. And I'll tell you the last thing I thought of is we don't know how things are going to turn out. And so that's why we like to be in charge. We don't like to submit, right? Because we really aren't sure that we can trust God to give us the best outcome. So if I submit, I let go of it. I remember there was a time in my walk where monies I would give into church were labeled. And I'm not criticizing you if you do this. And so if you do this, this is fine. But I'll tell you where my heart was, which is the problem. I would look for a ministry that I thought was running well, and I would write my monies in that. And then, I would want to be pretty specific, and I wanted to follow up to see where it went. I never let go of those monies, right? Those were things I was supposedly given to the Lord, but I didn't give to him. I gave to where I wanted. I was still in charge of it. I wanted to make sure it went to that place. And he started to speak to me about my heart. Again, I'm not saying this has to be for you, but speak to me about my heart attitude towards that. And say, are you giving it to me or are you not? Because if I'm giving it to him, I'm letting go of what happens with it. I'm letting go of the outcome, right? I'm letting go of does it yield something that I want, or does it yield something that I find frivolous or incorrect? I think around submission, there's a lot of times where we really take that same hard attitude towards God. Listen, God, I'll let you play in this, but only if your plan is, you know, working for me, kind of my time and kind of where I want to go. Are we really willing to believe his promises, right? I talked about this last time I was up, that his plans might not be straight. His plans might not go to the place we want to go, or in the timing or in the way to get there. Are we willing to accept sometimes that his plans might have pain for us in the process? That somehow it's not going to be what we want. And yet, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, I'll think about that, and then I'll go, no, I'm doing it my way, as though my way in the past has worked out so great. I don't know about all your ways, but my ways, you know, they look good on paper to me. They don't even look good to Michelle. I'll tell her, she's like, okay, good luck with that. But, yeah, they don't work so good, all right? So I don't expect that you like to submit. Right? I don't like to submit. I don't expect you like it either. I don't expect you wake up each morning, hopping out of bed, going, woo-hoo! How can I sacrifice myself today for everyone around me? I cannot wait to submit, to lay down all the things I care about or have interest in, to make sure everybody else gets what they're looking to get. How many people jump out of bed like that? How many people fall out of bed like Phil does? All right, sweet. There's going to be a line at your house tomorrow morning. By the way, I'd like donuts and bacon when I get there. Yeah, right? Yeah, there we go. Uh-oh. Aaron, you've got to submit to this. Woo. Good luck. Somebody's going to have to watch the baby Matthew as we do some marital counseling later. I think God knows this is a hard spot for us. He knows this is hard, and that's why he's told us again and again. He knows your innermost being. He knows where you're struggling. He knows submission is hard. But there's things in the Bible that he tells us to do. Sometimes he doesn't give us any explanation, right? when he gives you explanation, to me, again, that's another sign. I know this is hard. And so I don't have to do this because I'm God. Right? Remember all the things we talked about, God? This is who I am. I don't have to give you explanation one, but I'm going to because I know this is going to be a challenge for you. And I want you to do it lovingly. Right? So let's talk about what are some of the reasons that he gives us to submit. David, if you'd cue up the next slide, please. So this is just taken right back out of the scriptures we just read. Okay? Just taken right back out. And again, this is not comprehensive, and so I don't want you to think, well, that's all I get. That's it. There's more. He doesn't have to make it okay for you, but he's done so a bit, and so let's be aware of some of the blessings, because these will help be encouragements to us to make this good choice. To God, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay? This is where he was saying submit to God. Anybody want grace? I'm all for grace. Looks like about a third of the church. Okay. Your masters. Guys, by the way, that's just a trick to get your blood pumping. You know, get your arm up, put it down. Anybody have arms, put them up. Okay. Your masters, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I'd like the reward of the inheritance personally. This is a cool one. When I submit to my masters, I adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Wow. Wow. How many people want to be a testimony to the people around them that don't know Christ? That better be all the hands. Right? You've heard this old phrase before. Right? You're the only Bible some people ever read. That's scriptural. It says it right here. You adorn the gospel. You become a living example of Christ's word. You think he can use that? Amen, right? When I'm at work and I submit to my master and something that I don't like, doesn't seem right, it disadvantages me, and I joyfully, happily submit. Not easy for me. Oh, let's see. Harsh masters. Well, Dave, that's if they're good, right? If they're not unreasonable. I mean, if they're unreasonable, I'm a child of God. I can tell them I'm a child of God. Get out of my face, right? Not so easy. So harsh masters, when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, if conditional, volitional, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. If you stomp your feet and suffer through it and complain and whine and tell everybody around what a pain it is, that's not commendable before God. Okay? Don't waste a hurt. Pastor Don's talked about that before, right? If you're going to be in suffering, why don't you get something for it? And you get something for it on just a selfish level. And again, I'm not trying to promote being selfish, but there's a purpose in this that God wants to use. If you follow his purpose, there's a blessing that comes with it. Keep that in your mind. Some people want to avoid the punishment. Some people want to gain the blessing. Whatever motivates you to do God's will is great. Okay. And it's dropped off at the bottom. For to this you were called. Man, I hate that part. Right? Any of you guys have scissors Bibles? Who's got a scissors Bible? Right. Pastor Joey's talking about this, right? I take my Bible, I cut out all the parts I don't like, got little holes in it, make a snowflake, right? You might as well cut that one out. You were actually called to harsh masters and conditions that cause suffering. You were called to that. You were called to that. So not only does he know, that's his plan for you. Okay? Sometimes you're in that spot and you're going, God, aren't you here? And he's like, I've been trying to tell you, but you're watching too much ESPN. All right? This has been the plan. You're right where I want you. Now do it right. Be patient. Be loving. Put on the doctrine of me. Right? Show them who I am. Rulers and authorities. There's no authority. I'm sorry, next slide, David. There's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Why did I put that in there? Oh, I'm sorry. I got my head wound around. Why we should submit, right? Because God has appointed the authorities himself. Funny, every time we get to a presidential election, man, we really get an uproar as a church, almost like God's not paying attention and doesn't know what's going on, right? Barack Obama got elected, a whole lot of Christians I know. God, are you paying attention? Right? There's a lot of good things that have happened, will happen, and are happening because of his election. A lot of things that are bad that have happened because of his election. It's the same way when Bush was in office. It was the same way the president before, and it'll be the same way the next president. Okay, and so We need to remember, God appoints these authorities. We have a role in this government to play. Let's play it. Let's advocate for what we think is right. And then let's acknowledge God's right to put there who he wants to put there. He's not surprised. He's not waiting, chewing his nails the day of the vote to say, oh, who's going to make it? Right? He already knows. He already knows. So God put authorities there. If you resist the authority, you resist the ordinance of God. And if you resist, you bring judgment on yourself. There's a negative. Anybody want God's judgment for resisting authority? I don't. Good works that you've done in submission to rulers and authorities are profitable to men. Okay? Why do we follow every ordinance of man? Knowing that whatever good you do, you will receive the same from the Lord, whether you're slave or free. Wow, that's kind of cool. God's got a principle of you reap what you sow, right? Here's just another way that it's told. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then one more slide, please, David. Last sections of why we submit. To one another, we submit to be wise. Wives, we submit to your own husband because it's fitting in the Lord, and that the word of God might not be blasphemed. I know this is a hard area in particular, but God's saying that if you don't do that, the word of God is going to be blasphemed. People are going to look around and see your marriage and start to question God's word and work when you say, I'm a Christian, and then they go, but what's up with that? How come that's not working? I'm not saying they're going to look at you and blame that on you. It may well be your husband that's the real problem. Your husband could be a real terror, and it might be your faithful submission that they go, wow, I don't know about him. He's a mess. Man, look at her. There is something different because she, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she does it. Something there. Children, you need to obey your parents because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And that it might be well with you and you may live long in the earth. And so here's another phrase we use that has scriptural basis. You better do this or you might not see your next birthday. Kids, we're not making that up. It's right here. Okay, maybe not your next birthday, but right, God says there's a long life. There's a promise for a long life. I don't know how that works. I don't understand that operation, right? It's obviously not going to be for every single person, but there's a blessing there that it will be well with you and long life if you submit and obey, okay? All right. Just checking here because of a time we're a little tight. You want to finish by about what time? 11:30? Which was 7 minutes ago? Just checking. All right. Let's do this. Let's do this. I got to come back. We need to fill in the 18th. Maybe I'll speak the second half of this on the 18th. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little remiss to keep going because I probably got another 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do that. So my caution is, some of you have been pricked by I'm sure God's word because it always happens, and you'll say, Dave, but you didn't answer for me. You mentioned this marriage thing, right? I got a whole page on marriage. Let's talk about what that is and what that means. You go, how am I going to last? Well, you're going to have to now just submit to God until April 18th, Lord willing, and I'll come give you the punchline in those pieces. But we're going to get into some specific instances. We're going to talk about marriage in that context. And I'll have to, I guess, check the preschool schedule, make sure Michelle's working again. We're going to talk about, let's see, when worldly authority asks you to do something that's clearly against God's will. Okay, we have some really good examples of that in Scripture and how people have handled it. And if you think about how they've handled it, it may surprise you a little bit. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about work. We're going to talk about submitting at work, okay? And what does that look like? And, you know, what do I do when I'm not getting paid what I should get paid? I'm not getting the position that I should be getting. How do I submit to that, right? What's God's plan for that? And we're going to talk about submission on, during suffering. And what does that again look like? And how do we move forward in that? So let me net it out quick, and then we'll be done. Submission is not... not easy. It's not easy. But it's something that God asks us. And this is just, again, two of the words. I didn't take all the words. Two of the words, New Testament only, over and over and over and over again. He's not going to make you submit. It's a choice. God doesn't work like that. There will be a time that you will submit. Right? Pastor referred to it later. There will be a time we will all submit to him. But now you have a choice. You need to exercise it. And it's a choice that will bless others around you, that will bless you, and will honor God. And those are all really good reasons to make a choice. He's going to tell you to submit. And when he does, I tell you, just do it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast produced every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. every week. We want you to know that we are available to you should you have a prayer request or a need. Just send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.